Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. It was 66 years ago today, 1960, that 25,000 copies of the hit song Tell Laura I Love Her were destroyed. How did that happen? Was it A, it was all part of a mass burning of rock and roll records held in Kansas City, Missouri? Was it B, Decca Records destroyed them after admitting the song was tasteless and vulgar? Was it C, a plane transporting the copies to California crashed in the Rocky Mountains? Or was it D, a gang was ordered to destroy them by the alleged subject of that song? Tell Laura I Love Her, 25,000 copies destroyed, 1960, why? And question number two, it was on this very day back in 1923 that Benny Goodman did what? Was it A, he recorded his hit song Sing, Sing, Sing with Gene Krupa on drums? Was it B, he formed the Benny Goodman Orchestra in New York? Was it C, he took a job as a clarinet player on a Lake Michigan excursion boat? Or was it D, he won his first violin competition at a county fair in Kansas? Famed musician Benny Goodman, 1923, what did he do today anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of August the 7th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1970, that Janis Joplin bought a headstone for the grave of blues singer Bessie Smith. Smith was one of Joplin's idols. That was 1970, today. And it was 51 years ago today, 1975, that Hank Williams Jr. fell 500 feet down a mountain in Montana. After 2 years of surgeries, he returned to music. And that was 1975, today.
If you miss the train I'm on, then you'll know that I have gone. You can hear the whistle blow 100 miles.
Roseanne Cash singing 500 Miles introduces our country and folk music news. It's titled The Tragic Story Behind the 1961 Beloved Folk Song That's Currently Going Viral. The trending TikTok folk song, covered by Joan Baez, has a rich history. This is published in Parade magazine on July 15, 2026, by Lauren Gordon. We throw the word timeless around a lot, but in actuality, that is completely fair for a lot of the music that came out of the 1960s and 70s. Many of their concepts are universally felt and understood. to the point that they make their way into modern media in unexpected ways. TikTok is famous for this. People pluck songs from obscurity as background music to help convey a feeling or emotional connotation for whatever video is being shared, and then it becomes a trend. The most recent song making the rounds is the sullen, hauntingly beautiful tune, 500 Miles, also known as 500 Miles Away From Home, or The Railroader's Lament, sung by none other than folk icon Joan Baez. While it inarguably sets the tone for a thoughtful, melancholic piece of content, the story behind it is equally as beautiful and tragic. Parade.com adds that Hardy West, or Hetty West, an American folk singer born Hedwig Grace West in Georgia, is largely credited with writing this forlorn tune. West's story focuses on a railroader who is 500 miles from home, penniless and too ashamed to return home broke. However, many feel it is just a metaphor for going through life and carrying general guilt and shame, not just financial struggles. Like most folk artists, West was a bit of a cultural historian and wrote songs about her understanding of Appalachian culture, which was extremely impoverished and full of destitution, hard work, and untimely deaths.
I'm still 500 miles away from home, away from home, away from home, always out here on my own.
As is common in folk music, it is reportedly a retelling of the original Appalachian song, 900 Miles, another folk tune covered by Woody Guthrie and many others. It was believed to have even deeper roots going back to the southern United States in the 19th century. West's original version came out in 1961 and had a country twang, but it was quickly covered by The Journeymen and the folk trio Peter, Paul, and Mary. Just a few years later, Joan Baez's version came out on her live album in 1963. And in classical music news, we have this article titled, 81% of Brits Choose Orchestral Music as a Study Soundtrack, New Research Finds. This is published on 26th of June, 2026, in ClassicFM.com by Hazel Davis. 4 in 5 people in Britain say they would turn to classical or orchestral music to help them study, according to new research from the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, RPO. The findings come as GCSE and A-level exam seasons draw to a close, while many university students remain in the thick of finals and resits in August. The survey of 2,000 adults asked respondents which genres they chose as a study soundtrack. Across all ages, smooth classics led the way, chosen by 30% of respondents, followed by film soundtracks at 24% and musicals at 23%. Among younger listeners age 18 to 24, film scores took the top spot, with 26% of respondents using the genre to supercharge their study sessions, with video game soundtracks chosen by 21% of them. Beethoven emerged as the UK's favorite study companion, chosen by 26% of students, with Vivaldi and Mozart close behind. Interestingly, 12% of under-25s chose opera as their study soundtrack, suggesting that traditional concert repertoire holds its own against film and game scores in many student study playlists. Students have been reaching for orchestral music at exam time for a long time, says RPO Managing Director Sarah Bardwell. The appeal may come down to what orchestral music doesn't do as much as what it does. No lyrics competing for headspace. No hooks demanding attention. Just structure and momentum that lets the brain get on with the job, giving you everything you need to concentrate. And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, The Gen Alpha Melody. Actually, it's compiled from two recent 2026 articles. Gene Park's July 27 Washington Post article and Justin Beckner's June 17th MusicScore.com article. The Gen Alpha Melody is a viral internet phenomenon highlighting a specific repeating four-note musical motif found in hundreds of popular pop songs released during the generation's lifetime, popularized by student musicologist Carl Martin. A couple of clarifications are probably helpful here to start these articles. First off, what is Gen Alpha? Well, demographers describe Gen Alpha as the generation born between 2013 and 2024. That is, those who are currently in the 13 to 16 age bracket. Gen Alpha follows Gen Z, which ended in about 2013. Secondly, what has been identified as the four-note musical motif? Well, four of the notes identified in the literature as comprising the motif include F, B, E, and A. As noted in an AI overview, the Gen Alpha melody is built around the four specific core notes that land on strong structural beats in a circular pattern. The melody has two distinct phrases. The first phrase drops down a major scale, creating a gap which remains unresolved. The second phrase starts and drops at a lower level, producing a resolution of sorts. The authors posit that this is classic melodic construction, which is probably why the melody sounds intuitively correct, even on first hearing. It has a bittersweet quality, which might also explain why it keeps being paired with lyrics about heartbreak and melancholy. The emotional register of the melody and lyrical obsessions of pop songwriting nicely slot together. Carl Martin, the student musicologist mentioned above, thought he'd written the most beautiful melody. In 2019, this Danish musician composed a song around four notes that felt just right. It's a simple tune. It rises, falls, then rises again, never settling before circling back to where it began. I thought this is the best thing anybody in the history of music has ever written, Martin, now 27, said, laughing at that memory. I was just waiting for the record label to come knocking. Nobody did. Martin continued with his life, but couldn't stop hearing those same four notes elsewhere, from Bruno Mars songs to K-pop, American pop, dance music, indie records, and hits all over the world. I was pretty sure it was not just a chord progression. It was an exact melody being copied. Intensive research followed. through which he discovered 500 songs with a similar melody. He made a 14-minute YouTube video of his findings, a video that now has over 3.3 million views. When you hear all of those melodies back-to-back at the start of that video, it's pretty stunning, one reviewer said. The video seems to resonate because it names a feeling listeners already had. It's very cyclical. It circles around like a carousel, or kind of like the endless scroll of content that's always existed for younger generations. Through his newfound success on YouTube, Martin hopes to raise appreciation of music theory, that understanding these patterns and shared emotions can deepen a connection to music. My goal is to bring more magic into listening to music, Martin said.
Bikini sitting pretty on her hips, so we shared a Coca-Cola sitting on a log, and I was wanting to kiss her like an old bullfrog. Did you say you're only here for a couple of days? Well, all right.
Write My Number on Your Hand by Scotty McCreery introduces our local music news with a country touch. It's titled Scotty McCreery Shares His Five Favorite Country Songs to Cover. This is written by Jessica Nicholson at Billboard.com on July 30th, 2026. Country's retro sounds are experiencing a resurgence, with traditional-leaning songs proliferating the charts and enduring favorites resonating anew with today's audiences. Scotty McCreery has seen just how popular generations' old hits continue to be. He recently released a snippet of himself performing a version of Conway Twitty's signature 1970 hit, Hello Darlin', on Instagram, and the video quickly earned over 44 million views. That was kind of unexpected, McCreery tells Billboard. I guess you never really knew what's going to hit, but it's great to see there's a hunger and thirst for traditional country music and the throwback sound all the way back to Conway.
Forever back in town, just give me a ring. She said, well, that's so sweet, but if you want to see me, write my number on your hand where it's easy to see. Write my number on your hand and read it back to me.
It makes me happy, and that's the music I love to sing. In 1970, Hello, Darlin' became Twitty's fourth hit atop Billboard's Hot Country Songs chart, spending 4 weeks at the pinnacle. The title track to Twitty's 1970 album garnered nominations for both Single and Song of the Year at the CMA Awards that year. In 1999, Hello, Darling was added to the Grammy Hall of Fame. The deep voice McCreery has always been known for his ability to do older country songs justice, auditioning for American Idol in 2011 with his rendition of Josh Turner's 2005 hit, Your Man. He went on to win that competition and has long since become a mainstay in country music, earning 6 number one Billboard Country Airplay hits, becoming a member of the Grand Ole Opry, and being inducted into the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame. McCreery originally recorded a version of Hello, Darlin' around 2014 for a project that was ultimately never released, but his new version appears on McCreery's recently released career retrospective album, 15, alongside a few other cover songs and previous hits including This Is It, Damn Straight, and 5 More Minutes. The latter is seeing a surge in interest after it was included in the Apple film, The Dink. McCreery has new music on the way, too. He's writing for his next project and plans to head into the studio next month. Before he turns his attention fully to looking ahead and new music, McCreary looked back again with Billboard, picking five of his favorite classics to cover. Conway Twitty's Hello, Darlin', Josh Turner's Long Black Train, Jamie Johnson's In Color, and George Strait, The Chair. It's one of my favorite all-time songs, The Chair, co-writer Dean Dillon. I just love the lyrics and writing behind it and the story it tells. Could I drink you a bye? Every time I sing that line, it makes me smile. Garth Brooks ain't going down till the sun comes up. We do this in our live show, and we actually speed it up from the way that Garth did it. So, how did you do on today's important trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was 66 years ago today, 1960, that 25,000 copies of the hit song, Tell Laura I Love Her, were destroyed. How did that happen? Was it A, it was part of a mass burning of rock and roll records held in Kansas City, Missouri? Was it B, Decca Records destroyed them after saying the song was tasteless and vulgar? Was it C, a plane transporting the copies to California crashed in the Rocky Mountains? Or was it D, a gang was ordered to destroy them by the alleged subject of that song? Correct answer? Answer B, Decca Destruction. The website onthisday.com indicates that it was on this very day back in 1960 that 25,000 copies of Tell Laura I Love Her were destroyed by Decca Records. They said that the song was too tasteless and vulgar for English sensibility. An AI overview adds, Tell Laura I Love Her was written by Jeff Berry and Ben Raleigh, and it was inspired by a rodeo and recorded by singer Ray Peterson in 1960 as a classic, quote-unquote, teenage tragedy song. Turns out that songwriter Jeff Berry did not even own a car when he wrote the track in 1959. He originally pictured a local rodeo in Brooklyn, New York, rather than a car race. The plot tells of a teen named Tommy who enters a dangerous race to win a 1,000 prize in order to buy his girlfriend, Laura, a wedding ring. But he crashes and dies with his final words for her. Ray Peterson's original version peaked at number 7 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. Meanwhile, the BBC banned the track in the U.K., judging it too tasteless and morbid, fearing it might encourage bad driving or copycat acts among teens. Decca Records in England ordered thousands of press copies destroyed, but a cover version by Welsh singer Ricky Valance went straight to number 1 on the U.K. charts anyway. And the answer to our second question? It was on this very day, back in 1923, that Benny Goodman did what? Was it A, he recorded his hit song, Sing, 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 with Gene Krupa on drums? Was it B, he formed the Benny Goodman Orchestra in New York? C, he took a job as a clarinet player on a Lake Michigan excursion boat? Or was it D, he won his first violin competition at a county fair in Kansas? Correct answer? Answer C, he got a job. As noted in onthisday.com, it was today, back in 1923, that Benny Goodman, at just the age of 14, took a job as a clarinet player on a Chicago-based excursion boat on Lake Michigan. A Kennedy Center article adds, Benny Goodman's reign as king of swing, patriarch of the clarinet, and swing senior statesman began when he helped many Americans see the silver lining around the cloud known as the Depression. The optimism and grace of swing music brought the nation through some of the darkest days. Goodman was the 9th of 12 children born to Russian Jewish immigrants Although many boys at that time followed in their father's footsteps in terms of profession, Goodman followed his heart and pursued a career in music. His first clarinet was borrowed from a Chicago synagogue in order to play in the boys' band there. The synagogue provided instruments and lessons to young boys who wished to play in the band. As jazz spread like wildfire through the Chicago music scene in the 1920s, the teenage Goodman, made inspired by such jazz pioneers as King Oliver and Louis Armstrong. At the age of 14, Goodman was already making money playing the clarinet in Chicago's Southside speakeasies and dance halls. By the time the band reached Chicago, Goodman was being called the King of Swing. The band also started a new radio series and began a series of Sunday afternoon concerts at the Congress Hotel in Chicago. It was there that Goodman made an important breakthrough in race relations when he hired two black musicians, Teddy Wilson and Lionel Hampton. Goodman refused to appear without them, even when he toured in the Deep South. Goodman became the first jazzman to also achieve prominence in the genre of classical music. But it was swing music that brought the crowds out at dawn to line up at the entrance of dance halls and even had people dancing in the aisles during his concerts. Goodman received numerous awards during his 60-year-long career, including an honorary doctorate from Yale University and the Peabody Medal from the Peabody Conservatory. He died in 1986 at the age of 77. So let's close today with Benny Goodman's most famous song, according to an AI overview. Here's Goodman's 1937 Sing, Sing, Sing with Gene Krupa on drums. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is the language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure. Tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.